بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We read here about a few more incidents where some of our pious predecessors had beautiful experiences at the time of death. Hazrat Jariri Rahmatullahi says, I was present at the side of Junaid Rahmatullahi before his death. He was busy reciting the Quran. Someone told him that this is a time of weakness. This is not the time to recite the Quran. He replied, which is a more better time to recite the Quran than this, when my book of deeds is closing? Someone asked Hazrat Junaid Rahmatullahi, what was the reason for Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khazaz Rahmatullahi to become very happy at the time of death? He replied, if his soul would have flown away in that state of yearning, then too it would not be something far-fetched. In other words, he was longing to meet with his Creator. Someone asked Hazrat Zunnun Misri Rahmatullahi before he passed away, that if you have any wish, please mention it. He replied, I only wish to be forgiven before I die. One person says, I was sitting by the side of Hazrat Mumshad Dinwari Rahmatullahi. A poor person approached him and asked, is there a pure, clean place here where a person could die? Hazrat Mumshad directed him towards a place where there was a water spring. He went to that place, made wudu, performed salah, stretched out his legs to lie down, and then he passed away. The sister of Abu Ali, Rawzbari Rahmatullahi, says that the head of my brother was in my lap before he passed away. He opened his eyes and he said, the doors of the sky have opened and Jannah has been decorated. A crier is calling out to me, O Abu Ali, even though you are not desirous of such a high stage, yet we have elevated you to it. Then he recited two couplets which meant, by the right of your oath, I never lifted my gaze to see anyone with the eyes of love besides you, O Allah. I see you have made me uneasy with my ailing eyes and those cheeks of mine which have turned red because of shame. Someone reminded Hazrat Junaid Rahmatullahi to recite La ilaha illallah at the time of his death. He replied, I have not forgotten it so as to learn it now. So these also are some beautiful experiences that our pious predecessors went through at the time of death. Amongst our pious predecessors, there were people who possessed unique qualities. There is an incident mentioned when Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullahi, a great wali and saint of his time who used to reside in Delhi, when he passed away, then hundreds of thousands of people attended his janazah. The janazah was brought and placed before the people. Now the people are waiting in anticipation that who is going to perform the salah of such a great wali and saint of Allah. No one was stepping forward. Then a person came in front and read out the will of Hazrat Qutbuddin Rahmatullahi, wherein he had certain instructions. One of the instructions was this, that only that person should perform my janazah salah who possesses three qualities. First and foremost, that from the time that he attained puberty, he never set his eyes on a strange woman. Number one. Number two, the second quality, that person must never ever have missed his tahajjud salah. And thirdly, he has never missed his four rakats sunnat ghair muakkada before asar. So obviously, these qualities are very seldom found in one person. Maybe we find many people who perform their tahajjud salah regularly. They do not lift their gaze towards strange women. But very few people are those who do not miss their four rakats before asar salah, because these four rakats are not even sunnat muakkada. They are sunnat ghair muakkada. So people looking around that who fits all these qualities, who fits this description, then very reluctantly one man stepped forward. And who was this? He was Sultan Al-Tamash Rahmatullahi, the king of that time. So imagine the king of that time, in spite of all his wealth and riches, he possessed these three beautiful qualities, that he never looked at a woman, a strange woman, since he attained puberty. He never missed his tahajjud salah. He never missed his four rakat sunnat ghair muakkada before asar. He stepped forward very reluctantly. In fact, he was a murid and he was a khalifa of Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. So very regrettably, he sighed and he said, "Today, when my Shaykh has left the world, he has divulged my secrets, something that no one ever knew. People have come to know today." And he went forward, he stepped forward and performed the janazah salah. Imagine the king of that time. In the time of Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi, he had a neighbor who was a fire worshipper, a mushrik. His name was Shamun. So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi came to know that the neighbor has fallen very ill. He's critically ill. Anytime he may leave the world. So Hassan al-Basri paid a visit to his neighbor, who was a fire worshipper, in order to see to him if he needed anything, if there was anything he could do to assist, in order to pay a visit to the sick neighbor. This also teaches us a lesson that we should look after the rights of our neighbors, even though they be non-Muslim, they may be mushrik, they may be Hindu, whatever the case may be. Islam teaches us to be good to our neighbors. In fact, neighbors are of three different categories. Each one possesses different type of rights. The uppermost category of a neighbor is that neighbor who is your neighbor, at the same time he is a Muslim, and thirdly he is your relative. So he has three rights over you: that of being a neighbor, that of being a Muslim, and that of being a relative. The second category is that neighbor who may not be your relative, but he is a Muslim. So he still has two rights over you: that of being a neighbor, and that of being a Muslim brother or sister. And the third category, that neighbor who is a non-Muslim, that even though he may not be your relative, he may not be a Muslim, but after all he is a neighbor. If the neighbor falls ill, one should pay a visit to the neighbor, even though he is a non-Muslim. So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi, one of the great tabi'een of his time, who sat in the company of prominent Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, he paid a visit to his neighbor who was a fire worshipper, a mushrik. This mushrik neighbor was well into old age. He was into his 70s, late 70s. Hassan al-Basri paid a visit to him and inquired about his condition, about his welfare. And after inquiring, Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi presented to him the da'wat of Islam, that you are leaving the world, you still have an opportunity to come into the fold of Islam and be saved from the eternal doom of the Akhirat. So Shamun opened his eyes and he turned towards Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi and he said to him that I realize the beauty of this deen of Islam, but there are three things that are preventing me from accepting this beautiful religion. Number one, he mentioned that what is preventing me from accepting Islam is that I notice that Muslims condemn the dunya, condemn material things. In spite of that, they run behind the dunya. They still hanker after the dunya and want to amass and hoard as much wealth as possible. So is this not double standards? Is it not perhaps hypocrisy? They condemn the world, yet wherever they get the opportunity, by lying, cheating, deceiving, in their businesses, in their shops, wherever it may be, they tend to hanker after the dunya. The second thing that is preventing me from accepting Islam, I notice that the Muslims believe in one Allah, yet their amal are such that the amal and actions do not portray the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not exude and show those amal and actions which show that they believe in one Allah and that they have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, he mentioned that the Muslims believe in the inevitability of death, that it is something that is imminent to take place to everyone. In spite of that, I find that many Muslims do not prepare for death. So these are the three things that are stopping me from accepting Islam. But Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah continued in his effort to present the da'wah towards Islam, which is something for us to learn. This was a sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were certain incidents where a person is in the throes of death, and Nabi Karim sallam presented the da'wah of Islam to the person and he accepted. There were occasions when the person did not accept. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's very own uncle, Hazrat Abu Talib, who was not fortunate to be blessed with Islam, yet he cared for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Karim sallam became an orphan, he used to protect and safeguard Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the persecution of the mushrikeen and kuffar. When he was in the throes of death, Nabi Karim sallam went to the bedside of his beloved uncle and said to him that, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that say the kalima la ilaha illallah. I will then intercede on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will bear witness that you left the world with iman. But the mushrikeen of Makkah were very shrewd. Two chieftains, Abu Jahl and Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, these two also arrived at the bedside of Abu Talib, and they began to taunt him that in your last hours are you going to leave the deen, the religion of your forefathers, and accept this new religion that shows cowardice from your part. So they began to taunt him. Because of this endless taunting, eventually Abu Talib was not blessed with the gift of iman. He said, "Ala millati Abdul Muttalib, I die on the religion of my forefathers," and this way he passed away. In other words, in a state of shirk. Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu was very grieved at his uncle not accepting Islam, but Allah Ta'ala consoled him that innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. You cannot guide whomsoever you will. Allah Ta'ala guides whom He wishes. So on this occasion, Abu Talib was not blessed with the wealth of iman. But there was a young Jewish lad, a teenager in Madinatul Munawwara, who used to run errands for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This young man became critically ill. He was on his deathbed. His father, Jewish father, was at his side. Because he used to do the work of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, run his errands, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an affinity for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished that he accepts Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at his bedside and presented the kalima to him that before you die, this will be the source of your salvation. Recite the kalima. The young boy turned his eyes towards his father who was seated there. That should I listen to him? His father also replied in the affirmative that Ati' Abul Qasim, that obey Abul Qasim, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately he obeyed, he recited the kalima and left the world with the wealth of iman. So Yaitu Hasanul Basri rahmatullahi alayhi goes to his neighbor, making a last ditch effort for this person to accept Islam and leave the world in a state of iman. But he mentioned that these three items, things are distracting me, that Muslims condemn the world, yet they run behind the world. They believe in the imminent nature of death, yet they do not prepare for death. They believe in one Allah, but they do those amal that are contrary to the wishes of Allah, those amal and actions that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hasan al-Basri then explained to him that, listen to me, even though what you're saying is true, there are Muslims of this type around the world everywhere who live with double standards, who live a life of hypocrisy. But in spite of that, few rotten eggs in the basket should not deter you from accepting Islam. I still implore you that recite the kalima, leave the world with iman so that you can be saved in the akhirat from the fire of Jahannam. So he tried over and over again and presented the kalima to his neighbor. After a little while, when he saw that the neighbor was still reluctant, so he said something to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh. Before we listen to what he said, let me digress from the point. A similar incident comes to mind where this neighbor noticed and observed the double standards of Muslims. A similar observation was once made in Bombay when a huge audience gathered comprising of different religious denominations. There were Muslims in the audience, there were Hindus, there were Christians, there were Sikhs, people from different spheres of life. And it was the British regime in those days over India. The famous British playwright by the name of George Bernard Shaw, many of us perhaps read his works in school also, he addressed the crowd. And he said, he made a very pertinent statement. He said that the best religion in the world today is Islam. And thereafter he said, in spite of that, the worst people are Muslims. In other words, indicating that the Muslims possess such a beautiful deen and religion, yet they practice double standards, they do not follow this beautiful religion, so in that sense they are the worst of people. Of course he was not sincere in the first statement either, that Islam is the best religion. If he was sincere, he should have accepted Islam. He had some hidden agenda there. He wanted to soften the blow. First to praise the Muslims, to chaff them up that Islam is the best religion, and then he delivered the blow below the belt that the worst people are Muslims. But nevertheless, non-Muslims tend to observe this. Today we should take stock of ourselves. Many of us practice discrimination against people of other colors. We claim to be Muslims, we claim to follow that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that took Hazrat Bilal al-Habshi, a black Sahabi, as his own close brother, and Hazrat Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala used to be very close to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But today we tend to be averse from people of this nature. We do not portray the akhlaq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our shops, we tend to deceive the customers. A customer wants a certain size shoe. Let's say he wants a size 8. You do not have a size 8 shoe. You tell the staff member, go at the back, there is a size 9 shoe. With a floor marker, very easy to convert that 9 into an 8 and to deceive the customer. So we resort to deception. The hadith tells us, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." He who deceives us is not from our creed, not a true follower of the deen of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our character portrayal, sometimes instead of inviting people towards Islam, we tend to chase people away from Islam, which is unfortunate indeed. So this observation was made by the Shamhun, who was a fire worshipper. So then, Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to this fire worshipper, that where is the logic behind worshipping fire? The same fire that you are worshipping is going to punish you in the akhirat. That you will have to live forever and ever, eternal doom in the fire of Jahannam. That you worship the fire, the same fire with 70 degrees greater temperature is going to punish you there. 70 times more fierce fire will punish you. So where is the logic behind worshipping fire? He said, on the other hand, we worship only one Allah. We do not worship idols. We do not worship the fire. So Allah Ta'ala's help is with us. And to prove that, he said to the fire worshipper, then let us put it to the test. Let me challenge you. Let us light a fire. First I will immerse and put my hand into the fire and see if the fire burns my hand. Thereafter you put your hand into the fire. So he agreed to this test. A fire was lit. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah first and foremost, taking the name of Allah, turning to Allah Ta'ala for assistance, put his hand into the fire, and the fire did not even singe or even scorch his hand. Not the least bit of blemish on the hand. Obviously the fire worshipper was taken aback. He did not have the courage to even put his hand into the fire. But he saw this karamat, this miracle perform before his very eyes, the assistance, the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala, that his hand did not burn. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes these type of karamat, these miracles manifest in order to draw people towards Islam. On one occasion, a Muslim and a Christian were traveling on a journey through the jungle, and they traveled for about 6 or 7 days, what you know as pat course, that was used up, and they were very, very hungry. So the Christian turns to the Muslim, that you claim to be on the true religion, pray to your God, pray to your Allah to provide some food for us. So the Muslim went into one corner, and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide food. Miraculously, Allah ta'ala caused some food to appear from the heavens. It descended, a food filled with a lot of delicacies, in the sarkhan filled with delicacies, and they both sat down and partook of the food. They travel onwards. After another 7 days, again they were hungry. So now the Muslim tells the Christian that you pray to the God that you believe in. Ask for food. Let's see if your God will provide. So he went into a corner and he made dua. When he made dua, instead of one dastarkhan, two dastarkhans of food came down, laden with food. So the Muslim was very much taken aback. Does this mean that his religion is superior than mine? When the Christian saw the astonished look on the face of the Muslim, he said to him, do not become worried. Let me give you two glad tidings. the first glad tiding, I made dua to the Creator in this way, that, oh, my Creator, if the religion of this Muslim is a true religion, then you send down for us two dastarkhans, two tables laden with food. And now that the food has come down, the second good news I will give you, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and he entered the fold of Islam. So look at this, sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes these miracles manifest to attract people towards Islam. When this fire worshipper saw that the hand of Hassan al-Basri did not burn in the fire, he was obviously drawn to this beautiful religion. And he said to Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi, that I am prepared to accept this deen of yours, but one condition. Hassan al-Basri said, what is the condition? He said, the condition is that you give me a written guarantee that when I recite this kalima, then Allah will forgive my past life and accept me and grant me salvation in the akhirat. So Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah obviously was a very strong mu'min. He had firm faith that our deen is correct. It is the only true religion. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Islam is the only religion acceptable in the sight of Allah. So he was bold enough to give a written guarantee to this fire worshipper that yes, you recite the kalima, Allah will forgive you in the akhirat. So he wrote it down with witnesses and gave that document to this fire worshipper. Thereafter, he recited the kalima, entered the fall of Islam, and in a few minutes he left the world, his ruh was extracted. So Hassan al-Basri was very much pleased that one person has been saved from the fire of Jahannam, from eternal doom and damnation in the akhirat. But that night Hassan al-Basri, after he had attended to the burial arrangements, he gave ghusl to the mayyit, to this person who was now a Muslim, and he buried him with Muslim rites, etc. That night he went home, he could not sleep peacefully. He was tossing and turning in his bed. He was very worried that what right did I have to give a written guarantee to this person that he will be forgiven? He recited kalima with the lips, with his tongue. What do I know if true iman entered his heart or not? Perhaps it was just lip service. It was hypocrisy. And I have given a written guarantee to him that he will be forgiven. How will I face this person on the day of Qiyamah if this guarantee is not honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah ta'ala knows that this person did not accept Islam with his heart, he is not forgiven, how will I face this person on the day of Qiyamah? In this way, very restless, for a little while, he fell asleep. In his sleep, he sees a dream. The same Shamu'un, the ex-fire worshipper, has a beautiful crown on his head, beautiful clothing on his body, and is walking through the gardens of Jannat, and he meets Hassan al-Basri and says to him, I have to thank you that with your guidance, Allah Ta'ala accepted me, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me. And then he says to Hassan al-Basri that the written guarantee that you gave me, when Hassan al-Basri buried him, he buried him with that document. He put that document also into the grave. So in the dream, Hassan al-Basri is told by this person that Allah Ta'ala saw the authenticity of my iman, the sincerity of my iman. Allah has forgiven me on that basis and granted me the bounties of the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala has granted me the opportunity that in the akhirat I will even see the countenance and the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such good fortune. So because Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me, I do not need this guarantee of yours anymore. You can take back the document. He took the document in his sleep, in a dream. When his eyes open from his sleep, he finds the document in his hand. Returned to him the very same document. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah ta'ala, you kept my reputation intact. Somehow the guarantee that I gave him, because he recited the kalima with sincerity, on the sincerity of his iman, you have blessed him, you have forgiven me, you have forgiven him. Oh Allah, you are very, very great. Accept such people into the deen of Islam, which also teaches our lesson that we should make dua for the hidayat of the non-Muslims. Even in our neighborhood, non-Muslims, let us portray true Islamic character that itself will draw people towards Islam. Extend the da'wah of Islam towards them as well. We can even make dua for the hidayat, that Allah Ta'ala must guide them to the true deen. Who knows that if someone is fortunate, Allah Ta'ala guides them to the true deen, and these people can also be saved in the akhirah from eternal doom in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala keep our iman also intact, inshallah. Take us from the world with iman, with the kalima on our lips. Allah Ta'ala raise us with iman. Allah Ta'ala make it possible that the winds of hidayat must spread throughout throughout the world, and those who are not blessed with the wealth of iman, may Allah bless them as well, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah.